Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
And I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire.
2024.
Right. I guess so, the X is silent.
I heard the X is silent. It's to emphasize a collab.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a thing? Somewhere in the director's saying something like when two labels or two products or two people collaborate on something, sometimes it'll be this X, this sometimes gets used. I don't know. It's nothing I never noticed, but if you say
it's always silent. I didn't know whether to leave it silent at the beginning or not.
I've been saying Godzilla X Kong whole time. Sometimes I'll say Kong X Godzilla because I forget who's in front.
Yeah, but I think King Kong versus Godzilla is the Toho movie.
Yeah,
and then they did Godzilla versus Kong for the last movie, which was kind of a nice bit. But now they're sticking with Godzilla first. Which is fine. It's fine. I don't hate it. Because I think it's known. Like, I'm a big Godzilla fan, and you're kind of a...
Yeah, but, you know, this movie is a Kong story.
It's 100%. Like, I think... Okay, so you didn't care for Godzilla versus Kong that much. And I feel like in that movie, Kong does not, beat Godzilla, at all. It feels like Godzilla always has the upper hand. I feel like in this movie they did a shift.
Yeah, but it's not based on who wins, whether I like a movie or not.
I know. But I feel like in this one, okay. So one of the things we talked about in King Kong versus Godzilla, the Toho one, is Godzilla or King Kong was smart.
Right.
And Godzilla had a pea brain.
Right.
And I feel like that lines up more with this movie.
Clearly.
But maybe that's just because...
It's clearly along the same lines where...
Yeah.
Kong has to use his... More of his wits and his intuition.
Yeah. And Godzilla
reason.
Is very reactionary, which
oh, totally.
I loved.
Totally.
Which I loved because you always say, how come every time a kaiju comes up against another one, they just start fighting?
Yeah, right.
And it's explained in this one that it's that's just what Godzilla does.
That's Godzilla's job. Godzilla's job is to be king of the monsters on Earth.
Yeah. And Kong rules Hollow Earth. Okay, so can we do something real quick and just kind of get it out of the way?
Oh, go ahead.
Monarch, Legacy of the Monsters.
Oh.
I didn't really care for it. I feel like it could have been half the episodes. But one of the things, there's definitely stuff I liked in the show. There's a lot I didn't like. But, I kind of assumed, it would be a good primer for this movie. But it really wasn't.
No.
And one of the things I was wondering about, these folks all hang out in all Hollow Earth the whole movie. When they leave, is it going to be 2049 or something?
Oh.
Does that whole thing, is that...
That's a good point, because it's interesting, because this movie kind of takes place in, is it near future? It's very much
2029.
Okay. All right.
That's what I heard. I don't know why it's 2029, but I heard it's 2029.
I mean, there's enough things that are because it's the present with some new technologies.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Like the flying thing. What do they call that ship?
The little wasp.
Yeah.
It was the heave. It was the heave in the last one, the Hollow Earth aerial vehicle. And this one, I think it's called something else. I love that ship.
One of the toys I got recently came with a little mini version of that ship.
I like when it turned yellow. I thought it looked cool when it was bumblebee markings or Starship Trooper bugs.
Right, right. It is described as a redesigned heave. It is still a heave.
Okay.
I have Wikizilly opened up as well. because we want to if we want to properly name some of these animals.
Yeah, that's the thing that's the thing that sucks about seeing something new that has so many monsters in it is I don't remember the names.
Yeah.
But like right off the bat, like as soon as the movie started, we get introduced to Kong and we get introduced to Godzilla, and they're both gross. I'm like, this is like the juiciest kaiju fights ever.
This movie, I was like, is Nickelodeon one of the producers on this? Because there's a lot of slime.
Right.
The opening on Hollow Earth, Welcome to My World plays. By the way, the needle drops in this movie, especially, they really kick in when Trapper.
We call him Ace, Trapper.
Trapper. When Trapper gets in, it's a very, very Guardians kind of soundtrack, I thought.
Yeah, I loved it. Like the kiss song when they were putting the arm on, I was like, this is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And insane. Yeah.
The
needle
drops I love.
Yeah. Turn Me Loose when that comes on. Oh, that's great. All right. So, yeah, we see Kong. Kong's gray. He looks old. He's got a different shape of a beard. And he's being chased by a pack. He's being chased by a pack of how would you describe, what would you call them?
I think I wanted to call them Ralph, because I think Ralph is the wolf in.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was like, I think there's a name for him. And again, I haven't looked it up.
I was trying to write, like, are these zombie wolves? And I was like, zombie weasel wolves. It's like all the bad guy animals in this movie, everyone had cloudy eyes, which made them look like they were undead. They on the listing,
missing in, hair,
they call them wart dogs.
Okay. So that part where it just opens with Kong being chased by these things, it's awesome. And then he like lures him into that canyon where
he's acting. He acts. He comes out to the edge of the cage like, oh dear, oh no, what's going to happen? I guess I'm going to have to fight these guys. And then they fall through his trap, and then he triggers more, and
he tears the one in half.
Tears it in half. And
above it's like, his head, though.
Nothing has green blood in this place. It's just a big green slime. I kind of like the look of a green Kong, by the way.
Look, it reminds me of War of the Gargantuas.
Yeah, it totally does. But he does it on purpose, but then he's like, oh, great, now look at me.
Yeah, that's just 100% like the director. Like, Kong has no motivation to do that. It's just to be gross.
Yeah.
And it's still great because we get another, like, the waterfall shower thing.
It reminded me, there was when Damon did the Hulk Wolverine, he did a run of a Hulk Wolverine comic. And I think it was like in issue one, the Hulk basically does that. He rips Wolverine in half. And then Wolverine has to rebuild from that.
That's awesome. I haven't read that.
But
yeah, maybe it's shampoo. Maybe it's Prel.
Gross.
So it's like, so that's why I did it before showering.
And Kong is sad.
Again,
Kong at least eats what he kills, for one thing.
Yeah, and then Doug shows up. You know about Doug? Yeah. I think it's now like officially, I think on the toys, that creature is now known as Doug.
Doug, really?
Yeah, it's like he pops up in Godzilla versus Kong. That's kind of like a foreground gag, like during like the sweeping shots.
I thought he was in Skull Island.
No, I think he's in Godzilla versus Kong, and then the internet dubbed him as Doug, which Adam Wingard took a shine to, and I guess Adam Wingard's like, I'm going to put that guy in every movie I do. And he's been named Doug, and it might be on one of the toys, bag figure that I got.
There he is, Titan Doug.
But he's Doug, and he steals the wolf leg and eats the wolf leg. But now, Kong is sad, right? So Kong is sad because it's the same story since Skull Island and since like 1933, is Kong doesn't have, he's the last one. He's the only one. Like,
right.
There's that Cave of Bones, I think, in 33 Kong.
Yeah.
And then, like, Son of Kong dies, but whatever. So that's the storyline where we're picking up, is Kong is now in Hollow Earth, but he's still alone and doesn't have any other Kongs to hang out with.
And yeah, and we learn that he's been searching. Like, I mean, I guess we find out a little bit later than that, but yes. Yeah, he hears a sound.
I love this so much. As soon as this happened, I was like, this movie, I don't know if it's my favorite. I think I have a favorite part.
Okay.
But this parrot frog, which you're calling a parrot frog.
Yeah.
It's like a really, I called
him
a
frog fish when I first saw him.
It's, yeah, I only know it's parrot frog because I was looking at the blind bag package and I was trying to get him. And so yes. I was trying to feel like for the lightest bag.
Yeah.
I would assume he's small. Ended up getting Shimu? No, the baby Chica. Oh,
Soku.
But like, that little dumb frog.
I was just thinking, because like when I was texting you about the movie and Zuko. And it was like I was trying to talk about Mothra and it corrected to Martha. And I just started laughing about the idea of like that to just like purposely like say the names wrong, like, oh yeah, this movie features Martha and Shamu. For the white dragon, Shamu.
I got that little guy. And I can't wait to talk about what may be my favorite moment. But so this parrot frog shows up, mm-hmm. and it made me laugh. I'm like, okay, this feels like episode one. It feels like the Phantom Menace or something, like really weird CG creatures and like jokes. And I was like, yeah. Okay, listen, we just came off of Godzilla Minus One, which was amazing and made our top five. And it's like an amazing drama. And I was afraid, like the whole time in the months between Godzilla Minus One and this, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously, like you can't just put out another one of these legendary ones and just be like, okay, that's fine. Like it was such a high watermark. And so the
Minus
fact
One
that
was,
this, yeah, it's,
well, you gotta know. Like, I treat them as two separate things going on at the same time. Like,
right.
It's like two separate timelines.
Right. But after seeing that parrot frog, it made me be like, it's okay. You can have this too. Like, you can have the 1954 Godzilla.
No, but you can also
have Godzilla versus Megalon, which is like, this movie felt like the MonsterVerse version of like a Godzilla versus Megalon, where we, at one point, I'm like, wait a second, are we getting Cetopians? I was like, oh my god! So
it was not on that level of ridiculous. No way.
No, but it was one of those things where I saw the parrot frog and I'm like, oh, I can just, you know what? I have my popcorn.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have a great time.
It was so, yeah. That's,
yeah, I was able to kind of just let go and be like, listen, dude, they don't have to be. I like, none of them are Godzilla Minus One. Which is what makes Godzilla Minus One great, is it's like this anomaly. Like, they're able to make an actually like really good drama out of a kaiju movie.
Yeah.
Which is probably like the first time since 54. So I'm like, what am I even doing here? Like, yes, just have fun. There's a parrot that can mimic Kong's voice. And it's, I'm like, all right, great. And then they cut to Godzilla, who is sleeping in the Colosseum like a cat. In a little bed. Like, you have dogs and
well,
they sleep.
No,
in
way.
You have a bed like that.
He starts by bursting out of the water. There's a few times where he bursts out of the water.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Because he's got to fight the squid spider. And,
because it's there.
Right.
Because it showed up.
It's in Rome. And, oh, this guy's called Scylla.
Yeah, I guess he shows up in the background of, I think, King of the Monsters. And he's also in the comics, which I haven't read. But I might start reading those comics. Those Godzilla legendary comics.
Is. Oh, there's Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
Wow.
There's
okay, so that's in Rome.
Fighting Godzilla.
And so this is another slime time when Godzilla takes care of him pretty. I mean, they do a bit of a fighting, It's great. He knocks them into like they're destroying. There's so many like ancient landmarks that get destroyed in this movie. He knocks them into like maybe it's the Pantheon, because you see columns and stuff just getting destroyed, and then he charges up, blasts them. There's yellow slime everywhere. And then Godzilla goes and lays down in the Colosseum,
which was probably my favorite thing in the movie. And it's not just because he goes, like, it's nice because it's convenient and he's in Rome.
It's because you own cats.
Yeah, but they don't sleep in there, so it just sits there. So maybe I was just excited that Godzilla's using it.
That he just decides, like, this is where I'm going to be chilling.
Right.
Well, the best is, like, that he goes back there at the end.
Yes, that's the best part. Is he's, like, remembered, oh, that place was really comfortable.
That's my spot. This is where I live now.
Yeah. And I want, like, you could picture, like, Monarch, like, building up, like, a facility around it. But it's like, just leave them.
And they talk about the Italians are complaining about it and all kinds of stuff. And...
do we get the title after that? We get Godzilla, or we get Kong, then Godzilla, and then the title?
We get the title after the Kong segment with the lecture, and the credits are over the lecture talking about Kong and everything. And then that leads to like her doing some kind of interview on TV, and they talk about Godzilla, and that we get the Godzilla bit.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty thorough with a lot of these notes.
Well, here's the thing. So the listeners know, I saw the movie once.
And I saw it twice.
You saw it twice. Now, let me ask you, did you watch the trailers before it came out? You tend not to.
This one I watched more because I was already writing this movie off a little bit. Right.
I was
writing
it.
Because we're like, is this a buddy cop movie? Yeah. Is Kong going to be getting too old for this shit? Because this is what it was feeling like.
Right.
You saw it first. I saw it Tuesday, and then I got off work early yesterday and was like, I'm going to sneak in another showing so that I'm ready to talk about it.
Okay. So this is my question. Did you do it purely for doing the show, or were you excited to see
it? No, I did it for the show. I was contemplating maybe I don't need to do it for the show. But I says, I'm going to do it for this show. And I liked it more the second go.
Oh, great. Great.
I already knew it was going to happen. So then I could kind of like lean back and be like, and take in the whole of it. And because like, I wasn't going to get surprised by anything. So I was like, oh. And then you start looking into finer details.
Yeah, like stuff that's off to the sides or in the background.
Yeah.
And I really want to see it again real bad. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was probably, I feel bad saying it, but I keep saying like it's really stupid. It's a really stupid movie. And I'm not a fan of people who say like, oh, you just shut your brain off and you'll have a good time. Like, I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff.
No.
But I was like, I mean, like the way I enjoy like maybe a wrestling match, or the way I enjoy like
a Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, where it was just like they understand what they're making, and they know they're not making Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, they're fans of these kind of, you could feel it, and it's like people, hey, let's chit chat more monsters, and that's what we got for sure.
Right. The humans again don't matter really in these movies, these like legendary ones, to the point where like certain characters, it's almost like a character can never be in three movies. They can only make it to two movies. And so like, Alexander Sarsgaard, who was in the last one, is just not in this one.
Right.
And Millie Bobby Brown is just not in this one.
Right.
But Brian Tyree is in, this is his second one, so he might not be in the next one.
Okay.
And Rebecca Hall and the daughter may not be in the next one. It's really funny how they just, Millie Bobby Brown's in two, and Hal Chandler's in two.
Yeah, but I think Chia definitely has such a stronger role to play in the overall mythology.
Yeah.
That her chances of sticking around are good.
You know what was kind of bumming me out? As soon as Mothra was brought up, this is jumping ahead. As soon as Mothra was brought up and they were very excited about her showing up, I was like, is there going to be another, like a twin of her down there already? Summon Mothra.
Whoa.
And it didn't happen. And I was so bummed.
Whoa.
It felt like it was right there, because in King of the Monsters, there were twins. We just didn't see them together. Like, one was working with Brooks and one was working
with me.
I was just like, or like when she summoned Mothra, maybe her consciousness like splits into two. I was like, how are they not doing the twins?
Whoa, like each. Well, that'd be weird. Like if the Iwi tribe had like a counter member.
Yeah.
And that each one.
Like they could only wake up Mothra. If they're
but again, people. Again, by the way, the whole Iwi people is the best that any kind of ancient civilization or indigenous people has been handled ever, for sure.
But still, they also are kind of making the Iwi as if they're like these interdimensional tribe. And in Skull Island, John C. Reilly says, oh, they don't talk. And then now they're just like, okay, how are we going to retroactively make that
work? We don't need to talk.
Telepathic. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure. Like, this movie's nuts, dude. I didn't know. Like, after I saw it, I had sent you a text and I was like, I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
Because the suspension of disbelief, like, these things are turning into fantasy movies.
Yeah.
Like, with the Iwi and the gravity and the anti-gravity and...
Right, and you need
the way Mothra.
That's the other thing. You need Brian Tyler Henry to explain stuff to us.
Yeah, and the speculation is always like, just
like, Iwi technology. Yeah, you pour the red paint in the liquid metal, and it does something.
Yeah,
like that.
I love it. The fact that most of the plot doesn't revolve around the humans is crazy. The fact that the plot revolves around Kong and there is no one to explain what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, they do some explaining, but so Kong, like, finds a place.
Which... There's something Kong has, an intuition or some kind of instinct that he knows what he's supposed to do somehow is interesting. Like, just because he senses it. Okay, so the ground opens up. The next thing we do is we see Gia. We see her trying to adjust to going to school.
Oh, yeah.
And then she has the vision. There's a moment when, like, the feathers are dropping in the classroom. And I was like, did something happen? Like, was there suddenly a kaiju pillow fight? Because you see them landing on the students. But then after she comes out of the vision, you realize, oh, no, this was all made up. Right. And then you have this whole bit with Rebecca Hall and her teachers and the things she's drawing and all this kind of business like this. And then, out of nowhere, a Volkswagen commercial where there's this glamour shot of the Volkswagen that they're getting into. And then we go back to the movie.
Yeah. But I liked her story. I liked the visions were interesting. It is silly that they just, like, these like, triangular seismic
events. Yeah.
And she's seeing it as well. When the feathers were dropping, we see those feathers in Hollow Earth when they approach the Iwi.
Yeah, tribe. Exactly. Right.
Mothra? Is it like off of Mothra? Is it like?
I don't know necessarily that, but yeah. There's a quick little spot on Hollow Earth because the ground opens up, and then there's like this. Now, seeing it a second time, I could pay attention to the shot on the camera, the security footage.
Okay.
Because when I first saw, I just remember seeing the eye. And then when Rebecca Hall's character sees the eye, she's like, it's definitely an ape. And I'm like, you get that from the eye? But you see an ape foot come down first.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, so now that makes sense. Because at first I thought that was going to be Shimu. Because all I knew about was, I knew there was Scar King. I knew there was a Shimu just based on the toys.
Toys, yeah.
And so I thought there was going to be Shimu, but then they said it's an ape. I go, so I guess not. But we find Gia with the Kong doll. And by the way, I was thinking, why isn't there more Kong doll merch?
I think I brought that up the last movie when
we wanted them to make a Kong doll like that.
Yeah.
And I went looking up
Etsy. Oh, did you look it up?
I've been looking up for Kong doll merch. The only thing that's there's a blind box that has the Kong doll is one of the things in the those bag clips things.
That was the set I got. So was the Kong doll one of the outline mystery ones?
I thought it was from the previous movie where the Kong doll showed up. I think it was an older set.
Oh, I feel like it could be replicated, and I bet you somebody on Etsy.
Yeah, I bet they could. The Kong doll bag clips are from Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah, so it's from the earlier movie.
Okay.
And speaking of merch, because then we get Bernie's place where he's podcasting, and his place is full of Godzilla merch from earlier movies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of easy. I like that. I don't know if you saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, but in the movie, there's a TV that shows like Kenner toy commercials for Ghostbusters toys.
Hmm.
So that they made the toy, like Ghostbusters are so popular, they made toys in the 80s.
Okay.
And so I like that. I like that the kaiju are so popular in this real life world that they're people making toys.
That reminded me, it was like there was like the same year that the I think it was when the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie came out, that there was like one of the disaster movies that came out during that time, like
it was Armageddon.
I think it was Armageddon where like the dog attacks the Godzilla toy.
Yeah. Like it was there kind of doing a pissing contest thing.
Yeah.
But there was a Godzilla movie we watched. It's from the 70s. I don't remember which one. I don't think it was Megalon, where there's the kid that had all those Godzilla toys out.
Yeah,
in the
slide. Yeah.
Like, so I mean, why wouldn't they have toys? But it just seems strange since it's like natural disaster toys. It's very, you know, there's not like a San Francisco earthquake playset. So,
Bernie references a character, Ghidorah Stan 64.
A
troll.
That's great. Ghidorah, the first appearance of Ghidorah, the movie, Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, came out in 1964.
So it's
inside stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
And then did you notice the kaiju poster in his
studio? What is that? What was it?
So it's the same one that's in Ford's room in the 2014 in the Gareth Edwards. In his room, he had a.
So it's just a real movie. It's like a fake movie because it's like it's not in English. It's like I was trying every time you get a glimpse, trying to figure out who the monsters are.
It kind of looks like a Muto, but it's not. But it's that same poster. So within this world that was created in 2013 or 14 and has now become this thing.
Yeah,
that's still a movie that exists in that world. Did you look at all his pins?
No.
I was trying to look at all his pins to see if there was anything. I didn't. There was regular pins.
You're more of the
pin. I'm sure there's Easter eggs.
Maybe. So then Godzilla wakes up, gets out of the Coliseum, and kind of takes a little piece of it when it's trying to step over it. How long were you trying to figure out what Gia's shirt said?
What did it say?
It says juice. It's just written in a way. It says juice.
And it's like it's a white.
Because it's written in a way that's like where you start trying to remember, like, wait, what's the kanji way that they write Godzilla? What are you trying to figure out? Is that and then you go, oh, wait, no, that's letters. That's juice. It says juice. Okay, got it.
But what is it? Is it a reference to something?
I think it's just like it's the opposite. I think it's a non-reference graphic tee. It's like something that they don't have to clear. I was like, oh.
It was such a specific design.
I want a good shot of it because I kind of want to be like, I want to make a juice shirt.
Yeah, I try to figure out what it was. And I thought it was weird. but also like, yeah, I like in world stuff like Star Lord and Guardians of the Galaxy wears like a graphic tee that's not really
thick. Yeah, right.
It's like, a shirt. It's like a nerd shirt you could wear and get away with, like people not knowing. Like if I walked around with a Juice shirt, it's people deep. Would say, oh, look at that Godzilla fan. You know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's a deep, really deep cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Because King Kong comes in onto the Earth. I think. Oh, that's what wakes up Godzilla. Because King Kong shows up, or at least we think so. Maybe because
King Kong shows up because
he's hurt. He's
got a busted tooth, and they all know that there's a timeline. Like, okay, Kong's coming up. Can we fix his tooth before Godzilla figures out that someone's on
that he's here? Right. Oh, like what's he doing here? Oh, damn. Oh, he's got a bad tooth.
I love that he's so aware of any kaiju that's on Earth.
Yeah, he feels it in his bones.
Like
he's like, oh, I'm gonna have to mess somebody up.
And these guys have been monitoring Godzilla so much that they understand, like there's a ticking timeline, which was kind of great. We get Tracker.
Trapper.
Yeah, Trapper.
My favorite piece of trivia from when I was like looking at it is that the character of Trapper's look is inspired by the G.I. Joe character Chuckles.
Totally. Hawaiian shirt, jeans. But, yeah. I mean, they do make an Ace Ventura reference, which makes sense for his character, but I mean, I guess he's not a pet detective. He's a pet doctor.
Oh yeah. I had to look up. Yeah. I was like Chuckles. I was like, I don't know Chuckles. And so Chuckles is a toy and appeared in some comics. Didn't seem that he made any of the, I don't think he made any of the animated stuff.
It sounds like he's a deep cut character because I'm looking at Jay Glatfelter's toy website and they made a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Chuckles figure.
Oh, they did?
So it's not something that they would mass produce.
Was that last year?
But looking at it, this is 2000.
The card, if you the card on it, the card that came with the toy, you go, oh yeah, that totally looks like him.
Yeah. I really liked him.
I love him.
I really liked him. I thought he brought a lot of fun to it.
And it's really things. It's like when he comes in, this is like, oh, this is really where the needle drops really start to shine.
Because it sounds like he's playing them in his ship, like he's got a playlist.
Yeah, he's got that boombox there.
Yeah,
and so he's totally doing it. And then when
he comes in on that ship, it's real funky looking. It's like a construction thing with the hook. I'm like, oh, that looks like the glove.
It does.
Like it looks like they repurposed this ship to make the gauntlet. And I'm like, okay, so they're setting that up.
No, it's like that's like a cargo ship. It's like something to carry stuff with.
Yeah. But it was like yellow and it had kind of like things on the side. And,
right.
It was to grab things. Like, but for me who's seeing the promotional stuff, I'm like, okay, at least this is helping me get used to what's coming.
Oh, I see. The paint job. Like it's part of that same department that does.
It's like a construction.
All the glove stuff. All that stuff is yellow. Gotcha. Yeah.
Because there was a point in the marketing where you see Dan Stevens hanging from that ship, and I thought, before seeing the movie,
he was holding onto the glove?
He was hanging onto the glove the whole time.
Ah, okay.
Which would have been amazing, but that's fine. That's fine.
It's also reminiscent of King Kong Lives, like when he got the heart transplant, that the notion, like humans, we decided that we are going to take care of Kong.
That was my favorite part of that movie, and I immediately thought of that when they said that we're going to do the operation.
Yeah.
What did you think of the silver tooth?
It was cool looking. I like how it had like ridges on it that it looked like it was like 3D printed.
Mm-hmm. It's like a crazy alloy that's...
Yeah, he got used to it really fast.
He can still like bite. So he can still bite things.
And how later, like when Scar King looks at it and he laughs and makes everyone else laugh at it.
Yeah, and then Kong knocks his Scar King's tooth out.
Right, there's twice there's a tooth yank. There are two tooth yankings in this movie. Like, you see the tooth go flying and go landing somewhere.
Which we never see.
No.
I'm surprised this is the first time we've seen a giant kaiju tooth
get knocked out. Come out?
Like, there's so many brawls. Every movie, there's a brawl. You never see, like, parts. You never see Godzilla break a nail and it just sitting in the street.
Right. There's a lot of shots of Kong worried and Gia worried. Gia spends most of this movie worried about Kong and everything. And we get Mikhail. When I first heard it, I thought it was Miguel, but it's not Miguel, clearly. They're going to go down to Hollow Earth with Kong. By the way, I think they follow Kong real closely. Like, it was like, let Kong go down first, give it a minute, and then go. It's like treat it like one of those big slides at like a slide park that would just go straight through. Mikhail, I immediately go, who's this guy? Which is great considering his fate.
Yes. And I liked him. I was enjoying him. And he was kind of a jerk. But as soon as he started going off on the crew, like in Hollow Earth, I'm like, here it comes.
It's even better than that because I don't know if you caught it, but once they got to Hollow Earth and the mosquitoes, he goes, I'm getting eaten alive here or something like that.
Oh, that's great.
But first, okay, so they're all wearing flight suits, but...
We want one. I want
they,
one.
They get to... Yeah, there's the one piece and there's the men wear two piece. The different characters can still add their flair. So, you know, like he puts the vest over it or he has it like open with the Hawaiian... Or Travis got the Hawaiian shirt underneath and stuff. So it's like, it's still the flight suit... But each one can still use their own personality to flare it up.
Yeah, yeah. I want a Monarch jacket or something.
And then
I really like those.
And I clearly like everyone got to do, like, now you do your going through the wormhole face or reaction of just the close-up of their face being like, wah! Or whatever that is. Everyone had to, everyone had to do one of those.
Brian Tyree Henry was great because he was... It's kind of the fish out of water. He was really...
Oh, yeah. He did his hand. He's looking at his hand. He says, my hand is something. And also, I liked how the thumbs up thing, and then he switches it to the thumbs down. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. It was exciting. Like from the jump, like this movie, I was just like, man, it's just fun. And I don't know why it's more fun than the last movie, because I definitely like this one more.
Yeah,
but it's just maybe it's the group of people. They're just I don't know. They were really fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It reminded me of Star Wars, seeing them in that ship in the heave, all together sitting. Or like aliens in the drop ship, like where Hicks is like sleeping during it, and
right.
Yeah, like I like that stuff.
They come through. Everyone okay? Andrew says never better. After you see the torture of whatever of going through it is, she says never better. And then we get the first time we see the vertices. They're like birds that have shark fins.
Yeah, they're the yellow and black ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those designs.
Or yellow and blue.
So many monsters. I love the so many monsters in this.
The colors are really cool in the Hollow Earth stuff. Did you notice how, like, you can see the cliffs? The cliffs were like rainbow colored. There'd be streaks of all kinds of colors in the different cliffs.
Iridescent.
Really cool looking.
Yeah, I think I like Hollow Earth more in this one than the previous movie. Definitely more than the show. Scope is bigger. The only thing that confused me was there's
even
the ground, and then the ceiling is also another ground that's above.
Right.
But then Kong goes underground to the subterranean one.
To the hollower earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm like, there's an up and down, but now there's a more extreme down.
Yeah. And now there's like, what is the source of light? Because there's no sun down there.
Well, I don't. It's like a different dimension, right? That's within Earth. Like, is that how it is? Because you're going through portals.
I don't know if we should go this deep into trying
to because it's portals.
Explain it.
Portals. Yeah, because I just assumed after like Kong Skull Island, the Hollow Earth was just like, oh, there's a series of tunnels through the Earth. Like,
yeah, you thought it was like Journey to the Center of the Earth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Big so crystals. Yeah, we get that. And the...
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I think it's a different dimension. It's weird.
It's weird.
It's weird. And I think we're supposed to figure that out in Monarch Legacy of Monsters, but I think I was...
What?
I think my eyes were rolling too much for me to know was, to see anything going on screen. But in the last one, like the reason they took Kong on the aircraft carrier to Antarctica was to drop him in the hole because they have radioactive energy and it's enough to open up the portals long enough for them to take the ships down in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I feel like it's a different dimension. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But so I must, if it's a different dimension, then it's just like its own sun. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But they did show like the globe in the office with a littler globe inside of it. So it's in the Earth.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
So yeah, I don't know.
It is. It's the center of the Earth somehow. The hollow Earth. But then there's another even other hollow Earth.
Subterranean.
After that. That yeah. They haven't even ever discovered. They never, no one's ever gone in there.
So can we talk about
Godzilla? Shika? What? No. Hold on, not yet. We got it. No, we're not there yet. Godzilla goes to France and finds a nuclear power plant and just starts sucking up the nuclear power.
Love it. It's one of my favorite things in the MonsterVerse.
I love this. This is a great Godzilla sequence. This whole section here.
Yeah.
The jets come flying at him, and they start shooting at him. That looks super cool, too.
Yeah.
And then he lets out this huge, like, atomic burst just throughout his whole body. And then he's lit up in a way where, like, all, like, the cracks in his skin are now glowing from this blue glow.
Yeah. A little bit of, like, Shin.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it feels like he's cracking open a little bit.
We've seen Godzilla eat radiation. It reminds me of the King Kong or King Kong versus Godzilla, where King Kong would pull power from electricity.
Yes.
Godzilla's going around just like scarfing up radiation.
Right.
Apex lured Godzilla to a radiation plant in the last movie. So we know he eats radiation, but to see him actually like sucking it up and becoming brighter was exciting. And then that becomes like Godzilla's main story is like, hey, I think something big's coming. I got to start going around and getting as much energy.
I need to get stronger. Yeah. Right. So the last time when we saw Kong find the cave with the throne and stuff, and I had called that the Fortress of Solitude. But then he goes into this hole, and this one's really a Fortress of Solitude because there's all the like the glowy crystal stuff all over the place. And
this, all of this stuff when he goes down in there is great.
He hears ape sounds and walks out into Hollower Earth, and then finds more apes.
Well, yeah. So he sees the. I already keep forgetting. Shiku?
Soku?
Soku.
Suko.
Suko. I'll remember.
Suko, Soku, Suko. I think it's Suko.
So I saw the trailer, so I knew it wasn't a giant ape. I knew it was a little ape.
In the trailer, I thought maybe the cute little red ape was going to grow up to become the bad red ape.
Oh, Scar King.
But I'm wrong. Suko. Definitely
okay, cool. And then I thought in the trailer that they were just introducing a cutesy character like a Baby Yoda type to sell toys.
Right.
And I was like, great, we're going to deal with like a Minya
or
Son of Kong, like a goofy, cuddly thing.
He kind of gave off more of a Gollum Smeagol energy.
That's what Stevie said. She's like, when he was walking across those bones especially, like he felt like Gollum.
And the way he was always conflicted. He's like, no, I don't want that.
Shuko?
Soku.
Soku.
Hold on, Suko. I need to post it. Suko. Post it of his name up on my screen so I had to keep.
So it wasn't treated like a cute character. It was treated like a little shithead.
Okay. The ape fight. This is a great ape fight. I love this ape fight a lot. Okay.
This is one of my favorite parts.
I know what it is. Hold on. Before we get there. First, okay, the tough. Okay, there's three tough apes. Two of them are generic red painted apes, and then there's the one that's bald. And he does this thing when he's about to fight. He does that kind of thing like you see some tough guys when they do this fight, they kind of do this thing with their neck. They kind of like do this like neck stretch thing, and then the fight starts. You're right. Oh, first there's Suko, and he's trying to like talk to him, trying to get him to, and then Suko ends up leading him to the other apes when he bites his finger and stuff. Okay, go ahead. Your favorite part. Go ahead. You can talk.
You can say it.
Is it when he uses Suko as a club and swings around and hits the other apes with him?
The Suko nunchucks? Dude. That's when I was like, oh, so it's not a baby.
Oh, this is dumb. That's when I go, oh, this is ridiculous. This is like that thing when Hulk did that to Loki in one of the Avengers movies. It's like that. It's like full cartoon style violence.
It was at that point where I'm like, okay, there's nothing serious about this. They're not even being precious about the treatment of this child ape. Like, it's like, this is
a cartoon. Is it even a child? Yeah.
Oh, is Suko not a child? Do you think?
I'm assuming he is.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's nothing precious about it. No one's treating it like a baby.
I sat up in my seat. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that before. Like, we've seen Godzilla pick people up and swing them around and throw stuff. We've never seen a kaiju pick up a smaller kaiju and use them as a weapon.
And hit him with someone else. Yeah.
Yeah, like a little billy club.
And then there's also the gray where when civilian Kong knocks Godzilla off the cliff and then catches him brings him back up.
Like, and you think, like, this is the moment where they trust him.
It shows you how Kong is an ape of honor and integrity.
We'll tell out the Suko's leg.
And then that ape reaches for the knife, and so he is, oh, great, now I got to kick you off the cliff, and knocks him off.
And then Kong gets the knife. Kong with a knife is pretty fun. He has an axe.
Yeah, I was like, when I was... when I didn't know I was going to watch it again, I was trying to read synopsis to kind of remind myself to take notes and trigger memories. And so Kong offers the knife to Suko. Right. And Suko doesn't want anything to do with the knife. So Kong drops the knife and picks up his axe, which is his thing, and then takes off.
I still like that axe. I still like it. I think it's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, then is when Mikhail gets eaten by the tree. Getting eaten alive out here. It was such a great line. Now knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then the tree.
It's the deep blue sea speech where he's really being mean.
Yeah, I don't like your stupid technology. Blah blah blah. But it doesn't. No, it's his technology. I have your instincts. I trust my whatever thing to your goofy instincts or whatever.
And that tree is just sitting behind him the whole time.
It's just so. Well, like the second time. When you know he's gonna get eaten for it, you're like, come on, move a little bit to your left, get into position because we know you're gonna get chewed by this tree. Come on, get over there. The trees can't reach. Oh, there it is.
I love that Brian Tyree Henry is really knowledgeable about all things kaiju, but he's still not prepared for what they do. And his sort of trying to process the tree eating Mikhail was very fun.
Yeah, Byron Tyler, and his character has been all his information is mainly based on speculation, you know? Like just theories that are haven't been proven. It's just based on the little piece of evidence and information and clues that he gets that, you know, the whole society of people who are like trying to figure out what's going on, all the conspiracy theorists of this group that his podcast goes out to, his whole audience, that's all kind of based on those type of like speculations. And then sure enough, like the same way, like he refers to the station as the mess.
Yeah.
Go down to the mess. The what? He's like, the mess, the whatever that Ackerman would be in. And he's like, she's like, no one calls it that.
The monarch something.
Down to station. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then we had Godzilla going up to Tiamat's.
Yeah, so, okay. I domain. Again, a little bit of disappointment here for me. Because here you have a kaiju that's like Manda.
Uh-huh.
Wait, Manda, right?
Yes.
And then you have a submarine. Yeah. The Monarch submarine's down there.
And I was just missed opportunity.
Dying for it to wrap around. Yeah, well, I was dying for it to wrap around.
Yeah,
the
this sub.
But it was really sub, big. The sub was really big.
Did the sub even have to be there?
I don't know.
And the sub was just there to observe, really, right? The sub's job was just to be like, oh, looks like they're going to have a fight between him and Tiamat.
It's an Antarctica Monarch facility, and so they were probably just monitoring Tiamat.
Oh, that they're always around there?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would make sense. Godzilla shows up. And, you know, again, like, the Godzilla fights are nice and short.
Badass.
As much as I love a Godzilla fight, you don't get monster fatigue in this.
The Tiamat fight is badass. The Tia comes out. Yeah, I'm like, oh, cool. It's Amanda. That's fun. I like that idea. Godzilla like bites a chunk out of him, and then Tiamat does that thing where like, because he's got like the frills around his neck, like the spitter in Jurassic Park. Yeah. And when he goes after him, the frills wrap around Godzilla's face. But then we get the familiar sound of the charge sound, that vroom, 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 vroom. And it's then so it's like, it's like when they have those lights that shine up in the sky to call your attention to a certain location. Because like, it's just a beam that goes around in like a circle, like a cone-shaped circle through the snow and ice, and then silence, and the surface of the water is just chunks of Tiamat.
Yeah. It's good. It's good because it's not a long, drawn-out fight. It's probably, what, tops a minute long? But it's so satisfying because you get the stuff you want. You get the sort of Orga hugging Godzilla's face thing. Because you know, at some point, Godzilla and Kong are going to come together, and they're going to fight Scar King, and it's going to be a big thing. So it's kind of like what Gareth Edwards did, except we get to see more monster stuff at the beginning. Right. Like, it's small vignettes of, like, Godzilla fighting around the world. But it's enough to where you're like, okay, you're not getting bored by it. And the Tiamat thing where, like, does Godzilla... Sorry, I should have gone and said, I want to see it again. I should go see it again. Godzilla has the head, right? Tiamat head?
The Tiamat head? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, does Godzilla drink out of someone's head?
That's no. The opening.
Does Kong drink out of someone's head? You're talking about
Kong... Later, there's that lake serpent.
That's right. There's two serpents in this movie.
Yes, a freshwater, a saltwater, and a freshwater.
That's right. How can I forget there's two serpents in this movie?
Yeah, the other serpent's pretty cool. We know the lake one. So, okay, back to Hollow Earth. That's where the feathers are dropping. That's where they come upon the Iwi ruins. And they find the carving of Mothra in the stone, and they refer to Mothra, queen of the monsters.
Okay. I'm wearing my Mothra hoodie right now. I was wearing my Mothra hoodie at the theater when I saw it. I had no idea Mothra was going to be in this movie. So
yeah,
just
me
seeing the
either. At first I go, cool, a Mothra reference, just like a stone Mothra reference. Like the way in the 2014, there's like a picture of a moth in the classroom. Yeah. Just like a little bit of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Or at the end of Skull Island, there's like the cave drawings of Rodan, Mothra, and King Ghidorah and stuff. Yeah. Like, but I got so excited, and I don't know why, because I was just like just the thought of maybe Mothra showing up, I was like, that's a good surprise. Like I already knew about the glove. I already knew about like Scar King. I knew through the toys.
Knew about Shimu.
Shimu, and I knew about Zuko. So I knew about all this stuff. And so just the thought of Mothra
that they kept it
getting
secret.
Involved. Yeah, I was excited. And there's marketing shot. There's a shot of Godzilla and Kong in front of the pyramids yelling with Kong with the gauntlet up that they used in all the marketing.
Right.
In the movie, Mothra's in that shot and they just looped her out of the CG for the marketing. Yeah. It's kind of like how they took out the Muto in the shot of in the Godzilla trailers where the doors close while Godzilla does the yell.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it was but in the movie. There. In the movie, there's a Motu, so it's I kind of like that. It's a little bit. It's like, oh, the trailer lied to me, but at least they're giving me more, and I was like, because there's more monsters in those shots, and they're just not telling us, and it's kind of fun. Did you remember that movie Predators? It was Adrian Brody in the trailer of Predators. Adrian Brody standing there, and the little Predator laser beams, the triple laser beams.
Oh yeah,
they go on Adrian Brody, and there's like 50 of them, and he's freaking out. In the movie, it's I think one.
Oh,
it's only one. So this is the opposite. This is like they're not showing us everything because we didn't, you know, the marketing material didn't have Mothra. But the thought of Mothra in this movie, I just got excited just seeing the stone carving. I wasn't really sure that Mothra would show up. But just seeing it made me happy. Pretty sure I'm a bigger Mothra fan. You're not the biggest Mothra fan, but...
Between us, you're probably the bigger Mothra. I love Mothra's aesthetics. Mm-hmm. I love Mothra's look. I like this Mothra a lot. I like a lot of aspects of Mothra. I don't love the Rebirth movies.
Right.
I appreciate Mothra more than I used to. Mothra is more because I love the look.
Kind of just flies around and sprinkles stuff on. Like,
but I was in this movie, I was thinking of when Mothra like sacrifices herself. Like, there's a sense of like in the Toho Mothra movies, there's always this like the Mothra has to die for the new larva to make the new Mothra and all that kind of business. Yeah. Okay, so then they do the water bit, and then they come across the membrane, which is very much like the Mothra membrane when Mothra is born in the other movie.
In The King of the Monsters.
Yeah, it's very much like that.
And we get the Cetopians. I guess they're just Iwi, but could they be Iwi-topians?
There's a great shot of Kong walking with just like his axe over his shoulder, like Paul Bunyan. It's very kind of... That's when they go to the lake and... And he's like, oh, drink this water. Here, drink this water. Come over here.
And Zuko's like, yeah, go have some of this
water. We can splash in this. It's really great.
What a little turd. Then... I love that Zuko's a little turd.
Yeah.
Not played for cutesies. He's a real, like, real scamp. trying to lure Kong into a trap of this serpent. And Kong jacks his thing up. It reminded me of the octopus fight. Kong just eating.
It reminded me of there's like the artwork for the 70s Kong where there's a snake wrapped around him.
Yes.
And it was like, a lot of the visuals reminded me of that.
And then Kong just eating the monster and there's just like junk hanging out of its mouth.
Yeah. And then later, Scar King has that kind of junk in his mouth, whatever. He seems to be eating the same stuff. He throws a piece over to Zuko, and Zuko takes it, and then Zuko decides to go sit closer. That's kind of where Zuko kind of gets won over.
Like, even though Zuko tried to kill Kong in this trap, Kong's like, yeah, whatever. Still be my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Zuko's like, I get it. You don't know better. And then same thing, like when Zuko leads him across the skeleton bridge, did you think that might be another trap too?
Yeah.
Like, because he's like, yeah, bridge. Come on. Because like, it's like, no, no, come on, skeleton come on, it's bridge, safe.
It looked what? Like Gollum. That's where he looked the most like Gollum. When he's like crawling over that like fantasy landscape. It looked like a heavy metal cover, like a heavy metal, the magazine. That monster skeleton was so huge that Kong would like fit in one of the eye sockets. Like, where is the living version of that thing? That thing was huge.
Yeah, like, I mean, and I'm surprised because I was like, what keeps these bones together? What keeps these bones holding on to each other? You want to at least piece it. Like, I wouldn't mind if like a rib fell as he was crossing it or something like that. It's such a sturdy bridge. Then we get a lot of like narration. There's like Dr. Andrews reading the symbols on the. In the cave, and there's all like the carvings of stories that they talk about. Scar King, they give you like, all right, here's the story.
Yeah.
And they describe Godzilla as the monster who ate a star. I think it's just because of the atomic breath, I'm guessing. But it's also interesting because then that makes Godzilla this, because our understanding is Godzilla was born of nuclear power, or the atomic era, and it's like, oh no, he ate a star way before that.
Yeah, and the Bikini Beach thing,
right?
Yeah, and that exposition just gets put like she sees the pictures on the wall. It just tells everybody exactly what we need to.
Here's
know.
Exactly what she, this is. Is this by the way? And by the way, when you see this other red monkey, you're gonna call him Scar King. Just so you know, that's his name.
Yeah.
Although Scar's with a K.
So oh,
it's
is
not
it?
Not what you think it is.
I better read the toy. I have a Scar King, little blind box Scar King toy.
I got all three of the ones that you push the button and they growl. They have their growl. Oh. They have rubber heads, so they'll open their mouth up and be like, rah! And Scar King's got the best. Scar King's growl is better than Kong's growl in that thing.
In the toy.
Yeah. That's what my only Scar King.
Yeah, what do you think of Scar King in general?
There is something really interesting when he has, at the very beginning, when Kong shows up, and he has this weird stance where he's like one shoulder's higher than the other, and he's just this kind of weird stance.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a fun swagger about him. So Scar King, I'm guessing, has to know that he is outmatched with Kong.
Right.
Just, you know, pound for pound. So he needs to use his special crystal to have Shenu do his work for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we get to the Ape Temple of Doom, where Scar King makes all these apes move rocks around. There's...
right.
A cool shot of three gorilla heads on sticks.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
It's
off-putting. It's upsetting.
I know, but I know it was upsetting, but it meant to be upsetting. It's very Bram Stoker's Dracula. Like, it's very like these are the ones that had to be taught a lesson. So you know we're entering a bad place.
Yeah.
And all these apes there's some really, I don't know if it's mocap, but like, there's the one ape that drops the rock, and then the guy gives him a hard time, and Kong stops, he steps in again. And that ape, the way the face on that ape is great, and how like he's got like pink, a lot of pink in his face. And yeah, and so like he doesn't like the, whoever's like the slave driver of these apes moving rocks.
It almost looked like that it was like a red paint on them, almost like markings.
Well, right. Well, there's other, but I'm saying there's other apes that have like a different discolorations where like instead of a full black or dark gray face or something. Same thing with Kong. Like in the close-up, you see there's parts where it's like more like skin tone coming through. It's just to kind of, you know, apes have, you know, different
personalities,
different patterns and skin tone and stuff like that in the same kind of way. Oh yeah, so Kong kicks that guy's ass. The guy who just like kind knocks him out. Like the guy drops and that ape goes after the guy who dropped the rock. Kong just punches him out and just knocks him out with one punch. Which reminds me, by the way, we didn't talk about in the earlier fight with the three gorillas and Soku, when the bald guy takes off running. Kong picks up a rock and throws at him and nails him in the head with it perfectly. Doesn't kill him. The guy gets up and keeps going, which is why we need him, because he's the guy who then points out Kong to Scar King, being like, hey, that's the guy who kicked our ass. And Scar King gets up and gets interested and comes in for the fight.
The whip is kind of cool. I like it's a whip made of bones.
Yeah, they called it something. I think they called it the sash whip because he wears it like a sash.
Yeah, like a bandolier.
Whip sash. Yeah, they call it whip sash. It's written as one word, whip sash. He laughs at the tooth.
Zuko's like parent or guardian gets kicked into the lava.
Yeah, whoever that guy was, he definitely had like a relationship with Zuko, because when he showed up, he was like saying stuff to him. And he was like, oh, I'm back. What can I do? And then
Zuko was hiding behind the leg.
Yeah, and then he can't. And then Scar King gets between them and then kicks backwards to knock the guy into the fire. There's just something about Scar King that kind of also gives off like, okay, so Scar King is not. So I guess he's not naturally red. He paints himself red, I guess, something like that.
Oh, really?
I'm assuming. Listen, I mean, but like Zuko is like, his hair is red, but just because all the like the Imperial Guard of Scar King, they all have like red paint on them. You know, they're all painted red. So I'm guessing he just dips his whole body in whatever the red is. Maybe it's the same red paint from the same red paint that the Iwi pour into the liquid metal.
Maybe. I assumed it was blood, but
oh, it could be.
But I don't think blood would stay. It would like oxidize and not stay that red. I like paint. I like paint more. So Shimu
comes out. Shimu. Oh, again, by the way, not only is the bone bridge strong, all the spine chains, all the chains are made from vertebrae, are super strong.
they must be doing something.
Enough to hold this white dragon in place.
Well, the spine, the whiplash thing.
Yeah, he can whip it. He can whip it like crazy. Yeah,
he could pull a building in half, so it's pretty strong.
Right.
You want to talk about Shimu?
Sure.
We saw the toy design ahead of time.
Yeah,
I didn't know what the context was. Shimu could have been like another Doug, as far as I knew.
Yeah,
and you were saying like you're like, oh, it looks like a crawling kaiju, but it's
There is one picture of the toy where it almost looked like he was on his knees. That got me excited for a moment.
But still, it still walks on all fours, which was cool.
Yeah.
It's a she, and it's like a frost. It's a giant frost monster, which again, I don't think we've seen before. We haven't seen anyone that blows ice.
No.
Which is fun because, like, this whole movie's been setting up Godzilla has atomic breath, and now we have someone with cold breath. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, and Shimu freezes Kong's arm. It's the whole, like, he's using like the axes, and then his whole arm gets up and frozen, and that's where he gets the frostbite, which is going to then lead us to him getting the glove.
Which, when he got his arm frozen, by this point in the movie, I completely forgot that this is the movie where he has a robotic glove.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, he was getting frozen, and he was like, I'm like, oh, that sucks. And then it like took me like a couple minutes to be like, oh wait, duh, he needed to injure his arm. Right. I just assumed, seeing all the toys.
Had you not seen? Did you not see the clip about him getting the glove beforehand?
No.
I came across something that I thought was a trailer for the movie, but it ended up just really kind of like almost like being the clip, like a teaser clip of when he gets the beast glove.
So you were showing me the toy of like these Godzilla toys where they're kind of like not Transformers, but like mask.
Yeah. That's something else. I think that's
they have little like things that come out.
Yeah, you flip out. You flip out pieces of the body, and there's like armor, and yeah, right.
So I kept thinking that Monarch was just like I thought that was going to be the movie where they were going to just start putting shit all over Godzilla, like armor and stuff.
Yeah,
and give him lasers, and I'm like, okay. And so I assumed that's what they were doing with Kong's glove.
Uh-huh.
So when it got injured, I wasn't thinking, oh, he needs it. I just assumed, like, I thought we were just going to get Godzilla and Kong just retrofitted with all kinds of Mecha Godzilla parts, which I'm glad they didn't. Right. But at the same time, like, can we give Godzilla a glove too?
Well, it's like the wanting of the waiting for the Mecha King Ghidorah to show up.
Oh, that's what it is. It's fun seeing the tech attached to, like, Cyborg. They're cyborgs. But I like Shimu. I like the design. Stevie turned to me as soon as Shimu showed up and said, they better not effing kill Shimu.
Oh, she likes Shimu that much?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like...
I wasn't as crazy either. About Shimu.
I felt Shimu was sympathetic because they had her chained up and trapped behind a lava waterfall, a lava fall.
Definitely
there against its will.
I want to save some Shimu. I have something to talk about Shimu, but I want to get to. I want to get to the point when it happens that I go. You see, I don't want to get into it yet. Sorry.
Okay.
I was like, but yes.
But what about
Shimu's power is cool, and the way and the whole thing of the way he holds this thing to control Shimu, and Shimu's like suffering because it clearly something hurts him to that, and he has to do it. The whole thing of the training of Shimu is a good premise. Good, I think.
Also, so I'm not like really keen on the Scar King's design. When I got the little blind box toy, I'm like, oh, this guy is like skinny and
he's skinny,
weird, and he's kind of off-putting. But when Scar King got on top of Shimu and was riding Shimu, I'm like, okay, now we're talking.
That looks cool.
Now we're talking. Like, he's so scrawny and he's so like.
Yeah, and sometimes he has to hold on. Other times he doesn't. He can just kind of like squat like that. Yeah. And and the other thing about Scar King is he's kind of. He's slightly more missing link. Like, he's almost like a next generation compared to, like, Kong, who's more old school in a way. I think there's something that Scar King is supposed to be a closer to human giant than Kong is.
I think once I got the idea, or once I noticed that, like, Scar King's whole thing was he's kind of a twerp and he's kind of just an a-hole, I started getting into the design more.
Also, by the way, again, this is part of like the theory how like it's like because he had cloudy eyes too. I was like, all the bad guys have cloudy eyes. Yeah. But I guess it seems like they're in the darkness. They're down where they are, and that comes up later when they end up in Rio. Okay, so Godzilla has been in Tiamat's lair, absorbing energy that comes from some kind of like solar pulses or some kind of thing like that.
Yeah. Some nonsense, yeah.
Sure. And then emerges.
What pink. Do you think of this design?
I love it. He's pink, a la Millennium Godzilla, which is cool. He is so glowy. He's even more glowy now than when he had sucked up all the stuff from the nuclear power plant. And it's even coming out of his eye holes.
Yeah.
That, like, it's like he's like, it's like steaming through his eye holes was cool.
Oh, man. When he started swimming through the water and the water was boiling behind him, that was the coolest. I thought that was so awesome.
It got to, it actually set up like, it kind of sets up, it could lead to a destroyer type of situation where there could be a moment where it gets too much.
Or it's melting down, which maybe the next one, I feel like I'm so excited because this movie, they're definitely going to make
There's a part movie. Where it's Soku. Suko, man, people are going to get annoyed with us.
I know what I did? I thought of Danny Zuko.
Okay.
From Greece. So that helped me remember that it's Danny Zuko.
There's a part where he, when Kong is hurt, and he kind of like grabs his hand and kind of puts it on his shoulder, And I'm like, he's way down there. How the hell? He's not putting any weight on Zuko to help him walk.
Yeah.
But then this is where he gets the, he comes, he finds the people, and they check out his hand, and then he goes, oh, I'm going to go and go get the beast glove.
Which Brian Tyree knew about that project, right? Or was it?
Did he?
Was
it no, Rebecca Hall explained it to him, I thought.
Okay.
But they knew that it was a project that got canceled because they're like, why would we want to make Kaiju more powerful? But the prototype was already sent to Hollow Earth.
Too late, already made. which again, at that moment, I was like, they gave us so much information without dragging it out.
Project it Powerhouse, it was called.
Yeah. It was already something that was set in motion because of Mechagodzilla. And it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, we happen to have this thing. It might work. We didn't have to
Deus Ex Machina kind of
them building it. Like, they didn't have to wait months to get it completed.
There was a montage. There was, like, the lab and blueprints. Like one of the Easter eggs, they said the blueprints is, like, as a Jaeger blueprint from Pacific Rim. It's Gypsy Danger's arm.
I didn't see that. That's awesome. But it's one of the. But it goes so quick. It's like, oh, we already have this thing,
right?
And so it happens so quick where it wasn't a whole drawn out thing. It's like, oh, we got it.
And it's one of those things that the machine knows what to do. It's like the Iron Man suit. It lands on his arm. It immediately clasps around him and does the whole thing, and then.
And then the Kiss music, the music from Kiss during that.
Well, season. Yeah, when he's flying it in. Yeah, yeah.
Favorite needle drop. I went and I immediately listened, like on the way back from the theater. Me and Stevie listened to that on the way back. I was so pumped up because I'm like, they're just getting it out of the way. It's like, oh yeah, he needs a glove in this movie. And it wasn't like... super like this whole thing where you'd like it wasn't taken seriously. It wasn't like, oh, this is so badass, look at this thing. It's like, no, we got this thing, here it is, bring it in, that's cool, we're not going to dwell on it, we're just going to go immediately see it in action. And every time Kong did like a fist bump with it or raised it up in the air, like, was my favorite stuff. I don't know. It was like the Breakfast Club, the ending of the Breakfast Club.
Oh yeah, yeah. People, there's something that said they compare it to. There's a gorilla raising his fist in the air in the Primal Rage video game box.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now it's probably my favorite.
Gibraltar. The Rock of Gibraltar and
Pyramid. Yeah, so they say, Kong, we need help. Kong knows that means I have to go get Godzilla to come and team up with me. And so Kong goes up and lands in Cairo, Egypt, shows up in one, there's another one of these portals there.
Right.
And Godzilla is standing in the Rock of Gibraltar, and he's like, it's like he can see him.
It's pretty like, far.
That mother... I know it is pretty far. I actually looked it up on the map, but they're really close to it. It's like that mother.
He's high
and jumps in the water. He's like, I gotta have to go kick his ass.
I loved it. That dive into the ocean where it's just the shot looking up into the air, like stretched out, doing like a perfect dive. I think that's when the water was boiling behind him.
And then again, it gives us another moment where he jumps out of the water. I think him coming out of the water always looked really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They figured out how to make Godzilla emerge from stuff in these movies. Like the best stuff of Monarch Legacy of Monsters was
when he comes up out of the sand. Out of the
mountain. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So let's talk about this fight. This was some of my favorite panic, my favorite crowd panic, where the people on the steps of the
tourists and stuff. Yeah. This is also this is the moment when I wrote the note. See, we can't have nice things. Like, Godzilla's breaking the Colosseum, the Pantheon. Now they destroy the pyramids.
Yeah, they just level them. Kong throws sand in Godzilla's eyes.
Yeah.
And then I love that Kong was trying, kept looking back at the portal to see if he can get Godzilla over there to fall in with him.
Yeah. Vertical suplex, Godzilla yeah. to Kong.
I mean, the theater went crazy.
Full on pro wrestling.
The theater was full of dudes that were like 20 years older than me and 20 years younger than me. And at that moment, everybody cheered. It was great.
Oh, but actually, before we even did that, because Mothra, she had to go get Mothra too.
Mothra appears, yeah.
She went and got Mothra because Mothra has to appear at this thing.
I like the coloring more than the King of the Monsters version.
And how she unfurls and just glitters out.
I loved it. No,
it was exciting.
Sounds, but I did like the sounds they.
Yeah, I liked. Oh, okay. So there's also. So then Kong gets the upper hand on Godzilla and just starts beating him hard with the power glove. Just bam, 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 bam. And then he's dragging him by his tail. The one of the inspirations for that fight was the They Live fight, by the way. Oh. And again, it's that, oh, because at this point, Godzilla charges up, shoots breath, and at this point, if the pyramids weren't destroyed yet, they're definitely destroyed because they're basically sliced in half. And Godzilla stomps on Kong, starts charging up
to do
this. And that's when Mothra comes in and blasts Godzilla. And tells him to chill out. He's like, Mothra's like the person who comes in between two people fighting in a bar. He's like, hey, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then Gia's there. And Godzilla's going to be like, ah.
Was this the point where Godzilla and Kong just like kind of look back and forth like you're waiting for them to talk to each other? Like in Godzilla versus Gigan? Where they're just staring? Because there's no people in the scene. It's these three monsters. And we know what needs to be done, but
no, it's but like it's Gia. No, Gia's there. Gia shows up, and she's like, she has her hand out, and Godzilla's looking at her, and she's like the Godzilla whisperer. Like, she can just kind of like calm Godzilla down, and now they dump the red paint in the thing. The whole whatever the explanation of like Eevee technology, blah blah blah.
This is the first time we've seen
to mess up the gravity. Yeah. And oh, okay. So, well, and then here's the Trapper goes, "Hey, I got an idea. I'm gonna go get some reinforcements." And they're like, "What? Who?
Yeah, that's great.
How do you?" And he's like, "No, don't worry. I got some really. My idea is way weirder." He says something like that. And then,
But the fact that they're like the plan is for them to touch the tips.
that makes it happen. That makes it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about this gravity fight because at this moment in the
movie, so,
while I was watching this unfold, I thought to myself, well, before there's a little bit before the gravity fight.
Wait,
this
yeah. Because, like, because what happens is before the tips touch, they try and prevent it from happening by building it up with ice.
Yeah, Godzilla.
And it's Godzilla. Yeah, Godzilla's running towards Shimu and Scar King. Kong is running along and kind of hitches a little bit of a ride on Godzilla to propel himself forward. And that's the double jump where they're both in slow motion jumping towards each other is such a great.
That's one of my favorite things.
And just as they're about to connect is when pyramids come together and throw off all the gravity, right?
Okay. So at this point in the movie, in my head, my thought was, oh boy, how's Jorge going to take this? Because it is weird. And it is nuts.
The floating fight?
Yeah, what'd you think of the floating fight?
I was fine with it. I liked because like the way because like Scar King kind of figured it out fast. Oh, I can push off with these rocks. But my favorite part was Mothra using like spitting webs And just basically gluing gorillas to rocks.
Yeah. This is the first time we've seen Mothra and Kong in the same movie. In the long history of these movies, we've seen Godzilla and Kong a few times, but we've never seen Mothra and Kong. And so I was like, oh, this is really fun. Seeing Mothra taking out apes, like that's I haven't seen that before.
There's a great moment where someone's going after Kong, and Suko throws a rock at the guy and knocks him out, and then Kong gives Suko like a look and a kind of a like nice moves, kid, kind of thing. It's really goofy.
Like Mean Joe Green.
I loved Shimu freezes Godzilla, and then Godzilla breaks the ice off. It's quite.
So it doesn't affect Godzilla as much as
no
Kong. It is setting up the fact that like when it comes to this four-way fight, that Scar King is going to go against Kong, and Godzilla is going to go against Shimu. Like that's how it's set up.
Yeah. Like that in a proper but, gentleman's fight.
Yeah. But it kind of just goes all over the place.
Which it is, does. Cause then they end up in Rio, right? They go through, right. So Scar King goes out to the portal. Cause his whole goal is to get to the surface. And so he gets up there. Now this, I didn't understand until I was reading about it in the description. So when he lands on the beach, there's the cool, the frozen wave, Shimu and Scar King lands in the sand and it's too bright. So he commands Shimu to block out the sun by shooting his beam straight up into the sky. I didn't understand that's what was happening. I don't know why. Sometimes I go, I don't know why you're shooting at the sky, but okay, whatever. And then the fight happens. It's great. And it was what I liked about it also was like, oh, good. We also get a destroyed buildings fight. Like these are modern buildings getting destroyed. Yeah. There's a great part, one part where Scar King, he takes his whip sash, he whips it around a chunk of building, yanks the chunk of building off, and hucks it towards, I'm guessing Kong. I don't even remember now. Yeah. It's so busy, this fight.
It's really busy, and that's the only thing I think you really texted me about was that was really busy.
The busy was just like there's so many monsters in this.
It's the four monsters and then Suko. Mothra, I don't think comes into this fight. What's great too about it is like there's a lot of chaos going on. There's Godzilla versus Scar King. There's Scar King versus.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. I got it here. He piece of the building. And then Kong punches the building and it breaks. There's a part where I think Shimu is biting Kong's glove and dragging him around by the fist.
But it's never really confusing. Like the action, it didn't like confuse me like a Transformers movie. Like all the action was really cool. There's a part where Scar King is just dragging Kong's face through buildings.
Yeah.
And the camera's just following Kong's face. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Godzilla manages to bust the sash whip and the crystal ding, 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 ding falls off.
Like Temple of Doom style,
the whole thing, trying to reach for it, trying to grab it. Yeah. It ends. Oh, so Kong left his axe. His axe, because he uses the axe to kind of slow down his descent, and it got stuck. He let go, and so his axe was stuck in the side of the wall. So Suko pulls it off and brings it to him to the surface. When Suko shows up, he's got the axe, and Suko ends up breaking the controlling crystal for Shimu. Right.
And Shima's like, wait, where
am I? There's this moment where then suddenly,
but because it's a kaiju, Shimu's a kaiju, she still's like, oh, I need to fight these other people.
but still there's a moment when okay, so Kong throws Scar King at Godzilla, and Godzilla tail whips him
back
at him. And holding Scar King, Shimo gets kind of like the signal or figures it out and freezes Scar King. Close up Scar King's eye movement, knowing he is still alive there.
Yes.
Kong smashes Scar King into tons of chunks. Now, after Godzilla shoots the sky and reopens up everything, all those frozen Scar King chunks are going to come back to room temperature. And there's so much material. It's like when they blow up a whale. It's going to be just a stinky beach for so long waiting or trying to clean up all the Scar King pieces.
I mean, they have flying ships and stuff. Maybe Trapper can go in there and use his flying dentist hook to go start cleaning stuff out. I didn't think about their being thawed out chunks. That's pretty gross. Yeah. I do like that Scar King's eye was still moving.
Yeah. His cloudy eye.
Because I'm like, well, if he's already frozen and dead, like, who cares if it gets cracked in half? But him knowing that was going to happen was satisfying.
Yeah, like if he hadn't
I feel like there's a different cut of this movie where Scar King's crumbly body is more gross. In a movie full of
like goop, he's not frozen yet.
Blood. Well, no, it just.
He had to be frozen for him to shatter. He had to shatter.
Yeah, but I feel like there was probably goopier shots.
There's that movie. I haven't seen it. I have to find it. I wonder if it's a streamable now. That one about what to do with the dead kaiju movie.
Oh yeah,
I forgot about it. I have to go find it. So then the triumphant return, right? Oh, Godzilla goes back to bed.
Where is Rio in connection to Rome? It's not that close.
It's an ocean away, but Godzilla.
But still, like Godzilla liked the Colosseum so much as a sleeping spot. He's like, okay, yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah, well, there's nowhere to lay down on Christ the Redeemer. He only likes landmarks. He only likes big giant monuments.
Do you think Gia would have gone to Kong and mentally told Kong to go pick up all the chunks?
No. Clearly the kaiju aren't about cleanup. They're not destruction in their wake. You know what I was wondering? I was wondering if they contemplated possibly not having subtitles for the sign language.
The way Rebecca Hall would kind of mouth.
Yeah, how she would say, you what? Yeah, she was kind of like doing both parts in a way. Or maybe that was just kind of like for in the acting of it.
It made me want to learn American Sign Language.
Kind of give the other side of...
Is it American Sign Language? International Sign Language?
It's American Sign Language. There's languages of other countries that are different or slightly different. I don't know exactly how much different. Yeah, so here's my thing about Shimu.
Okay.
It's the notion of like, okay, so some kaiju get the respect of being an equal. But right. Shimu is an ancient kaiju, like an even older than Godzilla Kong, it seems. But Shimu is a pet. Like, there's a part where Godzilla's like tickling under Shimu's neck. Because that's how Shimu likes it. Who knows? And the same thing, like riding Shimu like a horse. It's like there's the pet kaiju, and then the ones that are like they get like the full reverence.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like Dino from the Flintstones versus like a talking warthog garbage disposal.
It's like the Goofy Pluto dilemma.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. You know, you have the characters like Doug, who are just like a monster who will eat wolves.
Yes.
Then you have the wolves who like think in a pack.
I sometimes when something like because like Soku's big, but not as big as Kong.
Right. Every time Zuko showed up, I tried to see Zuko. How tall it was compared to the trees.
Oh yeah, like, they're saying see, like, palm yeah, trees yeah. There's someone was saying that Zuko is still as small as Zuko is. Is still bigger than Kong was in Skull Island.
That seems crazy to me.
Doesn't it? Also, Zuko walking amongst the trees really kind of made the trees look like miniatures in a way. And that I kind of liked. Kind of like, it felt a bit like an old movie. But one thing, like, I liked, I just wish, this is unrelated exactly to the movie, but after having bought the toys without seeing the movie, and now watching the movie, I go, man, I kind of wish that they did the that straightation of the lines in, like, the Godzilla skin, how the glow was in the details like that. But I think that's just too hard to make in those type of mass market kinds of toys. Because I liked how, like it was, like, the way the same way, like, the Shin style of it cracking through the skin.
This made me want Super 7 style figures of these characters and Scar King and Zuko and all these guys, because I just want like little tiny versions. I don't want the big. There's shelf space.
Yeah,
would be just too much for everything in here.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like I want a Parrot Frog and Doug 2-pack.
Man, I just realized that I just reached into my office garbage can and my kid threw away one of my Planet of the Apes gorillas and Elvis Migos. And I was throwing papers on top of it. Like, I would have possibly dumped that garbage out without having noticed that a couple toys were thrown in there by the kid at one point.
I never really had a garbage can at my desk, but I do now.
Oh, right, the popcorn bucket.
The Godzilla.
Is it metal?
Is it metal?
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And it says Godzilla, Kong, New Empire, and then it's got, like, in pink, Godzilla and Kong.
And it's like embossed. It's like Ridgies. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. It looks good. Yeah, I was like, man, when I sit and I think about, do you remember when I was like, I think I'm kind of done with the buying of the toys. I think I've kind of found like an end point that I can just kind of settle and chill. So many cool toys had come out since then. When I sit and I go, man, there was that one Godzilla that was like Destroyer and he was like bones and melting. Uh-huh. And translucent plastic, and then I got all those chibi style Godzillas and Minias and
Super Sevens. Did you get the Godzilla the Super that Seven lights up? It shoots the mist out of its mouth.
Not yet.
Yeah,
but I believe I'm getting it for my birthday.
Oh, sweet!
And I got or the much. Godzilla skeleton that came with the oxygen destroyer. That was Super Seven, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool looking. I just that one was a leave in the box one because it just looks good.
I got the cup at the movie theater that has this this Godzilla topper on it. It's like a super
right
stylized Godzilla.
Chubby.
It's fun.
By the way, we were just I mentioned something to you before I saw the movie and I kind of the movie kind of sets it up. Like when I was like going, do you think they're holding on to the title King Kong for something in the future? And then you said, I think it's a legal thing, which really bummed me out. Because Kong's triumphant return definitely feels in a way that they could make him king.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, damn.
They dance around it.
Yes. Yeah, and so then you announced there was a King Kong series announced.
Disney Plus.
Oh, by the way, did you know there was a King Kong Barbie? I didn't. I when I was like looking up merch, it's
is it in the shape of King Kong?
No, or it's a Fay like... Wray. It's a Fay Wray, but okay, in the box, the box is molded plastic to look like a hand. Oh, not Fay Wray. Maybe it's not even Fay Wray. Maybe it's Jessica Lange. Even who knows?
No, it's. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, no, it is the old movie.
Yeah, it's the old movie, but it's like a molded plastic hand.
Yeah, it's a molded plastic. Like, that's another one to keep in the box. Oh, hold on. I got another toy I want to show you. One second.
You can get it. It's $45.
It's the Kong beaten on Scar King.
That's cool. with all the spikes coming out of the
Fortress
of Solitude stuff. Yeah, that's great.
It's cool looking.
I like Kong's beard. It reminds me of mine. It's, especially right now, it's very white and long. I think the beard looks good on Kong.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of it in the last one.
Yeah.
Wonder if they cut it for him. All right.
Yeah, it was a lot. This movie was a lot.
It was a lot, but I had a blast. And it made me excited for more because the movie did well, I think, over the weekend and worldwide. And
yeah, like 80 million, I think, the first weekend. So I was like, oh, good.
Oh, I saw this online. I don't know if you noticed this, and it gave me hope for the future, which I don't think it's going to happen. But when Godzilla's in Rome, there is a graffitied wall with a Godzilla on it that Godzilla steps on.
Right.
Amongst the graffiti is a
fist. I heard this too. Oh, go on.
Is a fist, and underneath it, it says punch, 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 which is Jet Jaguar's theme song. And if you look at the fist, it looks like Jet Jaguar's arm. The like segmented gauntlet.
But you know, I also heard there's also a Hedorah eye in the graffiti.
There's Hedorah eyes, and then there was something else. The turtle skeleton.
Yeah,
that's on there. Like I saw a screenshot of that. Yeah.
Oh, there was something about the turtle skeleton being artwork on crew gifts, like crew gift sweatshirts. They use that as the thing. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think it's just.
Are we gonna get? Like, I want like Pacific Rim.
Meets.
I want, yeah, but not necessarily. Like, I don't know where Pacific Rim when it happens, but I would like to see the origins of Pacific Rim. Like, they make the first Jaeger, and it's Jet Jaguar. Stevie just giggled from the other room.
Jet Jaguar is the prototype.
Yeah. You know what? I just want Jet Jaguar. Because Jet Jaguar has been in three things. Godzilla vs. Megalon, that weird Monster Island short thing that they've been putting up on YouTube, and then Godzilla Singular Point. But
What is Godzilla Singular Point?
Have you watched it?
No.
Did you try watching it? I watched the whole thing. I got way into it.
Jet Jaguar is so really weird looking. Everyone looks weird in that movie. And is it a movie? Is it a series?
It's a series. And I really enjoyed it. It's very sci-fi.
There's a toy for Godzilla. single point. What is it called?
Singular Point.
Singular Point. He's got like his head's almost like a thick snake head. He's super thick.
That's based on like a drawing of an ancient like scroll with a sea monster. It's okay. So the Rodan look weird. They have like almost like a pelican swoop. Beak.
Okay. But
all of these creatures evolve throughout the series. Jet Jaguar is made by some dude who like is just in like a junkyard. Like the Jet Jaguar isn't the Jet Jaguar we know. He's like cobbled together.
He's got a round body.
He's got a big old body with like
long
arms and legs.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell. I watched the whole series and I very much enjoyed it.
Okay.
And what's it on?
What did you watch it on?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
And it has like all the monsters have the real monster sounds. So like Rodan sounds like Rodan and Godzilla sounds like Godzilla and Jet Jaguar sounds like Jet Jaguar. If you can get through the first episode and just be like, okay, and then give the second episode a shot, and you might start getting into it. Because here's the thing, the monster designs are weird. But it's still giant monsters.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely liked it more than the Netflix animated movies.
Oh, okay. That's a good sign.
But, I mean, it's up to you. It's a different flavor for sure. But if you're hankering for giant monsters, it's a good one. They talk about the red tide. Like the Rodan. There's a bunch of Rodan. And they come flying in, and behind them there's this red... The sea just turns to blood. Like there's weird stuff in it, but I recommend it.
Is it just a self-standing? Is it like Like when they used to do like the ultimate cartoons where like, all right, nothing here is canon. It's just us playing these characters in another way.
There's like no reference of Godzilla in 1954. There's no, it's just like, here's this whole different chunk of, it's weird. It's really weird, but I really enjoyed it. But it does take getting used to the Rodan is the first stuff you really see, and they look so different, but they sound like Rodan. But the stuff they do, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool because it's just pterodactyl creatures. But again, it evolves into a more classic look, and Godzilla is like a sea creature that turns into a more classic look. You just kind of have to like, it's like the Roland Emmerich one.
Okay.
Where you're like, I mean, it doesn't feel like Godzilla, but it's a giant lizard. Like if you just told me this is a giant iguana, then I'd be like, oh, this is fun. I mean, I don't know, dude. It's, you know, if you feel like watching or don't, it's, I think it's like half hour episodes or 20 minute episodes. I don't think they're very long. It's weird.
Well, all right. If I get around to it, I'll report back.
100%. You don't have, just, I'm not like, it's not like, dude, you have to see that. It's like, yeah, if you get around to it, just know it exists.
Yeah, I know.
Put it on
to
watch list somewhere.
It's like when I look at like going, you know, whenever I go looking on the internet, I go like, what's this? Why does this look so, it's Singular Point. That explains it.
I mean, watch it and then you'll know. I don't think you'll run out and get any of the toys.
No.
But maybe there might be a Rodan one you would like. It's interesting takes. It's interesting takes. Yeah. And by the time I finish watching, I'm like, oh, I was very entertained.
That's cool.
It's fun. It's fine. They're short episodes. I don't think there's a lot of them, but it's a hard recommend. you got anything else? Are we going to talk top five? I mean, from the beginning, I don't think this was ever going to be in the conversation for top five.
No, it doesn't crack it.
When it comes to MonsterVerse movies, which I believe there are five of now, would you rank it? Where would you rank it in the five MonsterVerse movies?
Oh man, I haven't.
For me, I put it at like three. I liked it more than Godzilla versus Kong. I liked it more
than your one,
King of the Monsters. It wavers between Godzilla and Skull Island.
The first two.
Yeah, I've been rewatching Godzilla. The Gareth Edwards one, I really like it. It's so funny because that movie has like, he's like, okay, every shot has to be from a vantage point where a human camera could be.
Right.
And then this movie's like, we're going to float around in space.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think this ranks high for me in the legendary ones.
It feels like a 70s Godzilla movie in that it's just crazy.
Oh, another thing that they wanted to look, they said that we wanted it to look like an 80s toy commercial.
The music in it sounded, the score sounded 80s. Like, I loved everything. I think that
the huge color splashes were just so cool. Yeah. And why don't we just paint these cliffs with streaks of blue and pink and yellow and stuff? Yeah. And I was like, going, oh, that's kind of cool looking. It just everything was really vibrant. That parrot frog, the colors of that super red. When it's riding his bubble, it's riding his bubble for a second, and then it's the three is pretty good. Two or three even maybe. It's interesting when you go like you get a movie like this where you get all the monsters you want. Then you got to remind yourself that, remember, the first time we came back to Godzilla, they were hiding him from us for a lot of the movie. Mm-hmm. They were hiding him on television sets. And they were hiding him in, like, there were so many different, like, other ways to see him. Or, like, you're about to see him, and then he cuts away. And then you hear what he did. And then, Skull Island, though. Also, because it's got that Apocalypse Now coloring and stuff. I don't know. I'd have to do. I haven't rewatched any of these.
I rewatched all of them before watching this one.
That's what the
and I've been liking. Did. I've been re liking. I've been liking the original Godzilla more and more. It's so restrained. It's so not.
It is super restrained.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite of this.
It is super restrained, but we got to remember it was free to be restrained because we were in a Godzilla drought that suddenly, Godzilla in the movie theaters and like the whole, like the experience of when you first saw 2014, it was that first time when he charges up and you went, oh yeah, I forget he charges up.
But now he's like charging up like five times a movie. And
now it's so funny. And the cooldown time is much shorter now that he's pink.
But what's funny is they don't like, that wasn't never really a thing before that movie. Like you would see his backlight up and he would shoot stuff immediately.
Yeah.
But like when Gareth Edwards made that charging up the back and you just see it in the fog, like
and then he needs to reset. Yeah.
Yeah. But now it's like you even see anticipation. That in -1.
Yeah.
Now it's like an event.
That they yeah, exactly. The way they each, like between the Toho Studio ones and the Legendary ones, where it's like they inform each other, where then Toho goes, oh, how about the spikes start shooting outwards?
That's still my favorite moment in like all of these movies, was when that charge, when it started charging up. Because like with the Roland Emmerich movie, he didn't do the fire breath.
No.
And so in this one, it was so grounded in like an actual like real world setting where, you know, where it's boots on the ground. You're following characters that are like at Godzilla's feet. You forget that it's going to have, that Godzilla has the ability to shoot fire breath. And they left it out of the marketing.
Yeah.
And just, you can see the tail wrapped around kind of the building, like the street. And they're just seeing it light up. Boom, 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 boom. And then into the fog. Oh, my gosh.
You're like,
he can do it.
You know it. Just at the right moment to get excited about it, and then you get it. Really, it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. But by this point, you know, five movies in, you're like, okay, we don't have much more of those kind of things we could pull off, so we'll just go big. You know, it's just, yeah. Godzilla does fire breath in like the first fight at the beginning.
Yeah, it's like his go-to. I'm just gonna fire breath this guy and get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to shoot fire down his face.
Like it's like Indiana Jones with the gun against the sword guy. It's like, damn it. I'm just going to fire breath this guy and get back to sleep.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen in the next one. I mean, Mecha King Ghidorah, because I don't know. I wish Hollywood had like an Angulus.
Is there any work?
They have to. It did really well over the weekend.
I mean, they haven't announced anything though yet.
No, but I am assuming.
They're going to just keep the legacy.
I'm fine with Adam Wingard coming back if he's going to just make it more crazy.
Yeah, I think so. I think I do like him being in charge of it. He's definitely making fun movies.
Yeah, and then he's, I guess, a fan of Destroy All Monsters. So, like, let's go.
Just start bringing
him in. Like, just have him drop in from space. Like a Gigan would be nuts.
A Gigan would be super nuts. I mean, Gigan is,
but I'm trying to think, like, who do we not have?
He's just
like
one of my favorites.
Anguirus is not, or hasn't been in this. Like, he could have been in Hollow Earth easy, because he's dinosaur.
And I also just really want to see a Baragon.
The ears,
because like the Baragon's got the there's Baragons where he's upright, and there's Baragons where he's on all fours. Like, he does both.
Because we've had Rodan, we've had Mothra.
Yes.
King Ghidorah. Like, it's time to just unleash them all.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I was like, I would trade Shimu and Scar King for a reworking of someone that we know existed.
Baragon and King Caesar?
they wouldn't fit with the storyline.
Right.
But I don't think they need to keep inventing new monsters, because it was just so exciting for King Ghidorah to happen.
Right.
And Mechagodzilla. That was exciting to kind of be like, all right, even though we're like, I don't love the mecha design. Or King Ghidorah is kind of goofy, but at least the middle head is. But it's still just kind of fun seeing it done with newer effects and just...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm ready for the next one. I kind of wrote this one off, too, before going into it, because I liked Godzilla vs. Kong, but I wasn't, like, hankering for more of that. But we got...
You should definitely see it again, I think, because I think you'll like it the second viewing a lot.
Yeah.
I felt like I sunk in for 2 days, and I was like, I want to go see this again now.
Yeah, I want
to see it. And it's fun to watch the second time, and you can really sit back and just enjoy it even more.
I feel like Godzilla X Kong Destroy All Monsters is a great title. Let's do it. Right?
Now you want the cop movie.
Yeah.
Now you want the buddy cop movie.
Yeah. It needs to be something that threatens both Earth and Hollow Earth.
No, but like, yeah, or like Godzilla leading an army of apes.
Yeah.
From Hollow Earth to...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I want...
And more. I want a Mothra sacrifice. I want a Mothra, and like, don't worry, she will be reborn, kind of. I wanted a thing like that, where like, it's like the Phantom, the Ghost Who Walks, where like, the whole thing that Mothra is all about... You know, the circle of life and, like, she's, you know...
The memories pass on.
Sacrifices herself only to be born again in the next, you know...
Yeah.
And like, I think that would be cool, too. Man, I feel like we've been talking forever.
It's been 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's been a long one. I'm sure we'll be back with something eventually.
Something's going to have to show up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll see how to take care of a dead kaiju.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll like that. I don't know. But I'm excited. This movie made me very happy. I want to see it again. So, yeah, that's all I got. Not top five worthy, but a whole lot of fun. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of top five movies that aren't in the top five that are fun. And it definitely reminded me of like a 70s Godzilla movie where it's just like, okay, we're going to go crazy. Yeah. So I don't have anything else to say. Until next time, I am going to, I don't know, go into Hollow Earth and not age.
All right. I'm going to go lay down in the Colosseum.
That's a good one. That's such a good one.
Go take a nap in the Colosseum. I thought you were going to take it. I was scared you were going to steal it from me.
No, that's a good one. I should have thought of that like weeks ago. All right.
All right, later.